We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. Good morning. October 15th, 2019. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Hope you enjoyed the shows yesterday. We had a nice day off, and we may even take another one later on this week. We'll see. But tomorrow, we're going to do another edition of a show that I do from time to time, which is a little peek into... Well, let me turn this down a second. Hold on. That's not good. Testing 1, 2, 3. A little peek into the book that I'm working on for a few years called It Takes a Long Time to Get Young. And we'll do that tomorrow. Have some insights for you that I'm always getting new ones and that I think you'll find fun and ties right in to our first guest this morning, because reading his website and the work he's doing, for what it's worth, I think he really he's onto something here with the way he views the body, soul, mind, body connection. Steve Richards, you'll meet him in just a second. And then tomorrow, also Richard Mayberry. We have not talked to Richard Mayberry for a very long time. He is a historian, an author, and an economist, geopolitical expert. Really cool guy. Yeah, I think you're going to like him a lot. He does the Early Warning Report, a newsletter. Very, very popular for investors. So I'm going to talk to him about the world of money, and that'll be tomorrow with Richard Mayberry. Nothing scheduled as yet for Thursday. I wanted to take a little bit of time off this weekend and work some more on the book and the screenplay, but we'll see. It just depends. If something good comes up, we'll do the show a couple hours and do it. Okay, Ray Pete will be here in an hour, and already we have questions coming in for Ray Pete. He's here on the, I guess it's the third Tuesday of the month. Well, Steve Richards, as I said, is here. And Steve is, he's the founder of Dreamtime Healing using holographic kinetic, which is an aboriginal, aboriginal descendant and aware. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read this very well. He is an aboriginal descendant. And he's aware of the universal knowledge that they've been used is for a very long time. The laws of lore. He won a 2005 Life Award Certificate of Commendation by Suicide Prevention in Australia. Wow. Nominated for the Human Rights Medal Award 2005 and 2006. I nominated for Australian of the Year in 2007. Through the results of his outstanding achievements using holographic kinetics therapy techniques. And if you go to his website, and we put it on the front page, which is holographickinetics.com, and read about his interpretation and experience, we'll find out about soul, mind, body thing. For what it's worth, and all the research I've done this lifetime, which has been a lot, I think he's just right on. Of course, me saying that he is doesn't matter. It's what he's doing and his experience that we'll explore here. And it's midnight in Australia. Steve Richards, good evening to you. Thanks for staying up.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you.
Yeah. What time do you generally go to bed, Steve?
Oh, look, it varies. A lot of time. It's 11, 12. Yeah. I only ever need about 4 hours sleep and I'm right again.
Yeah, 4 hours. Yeah. So, you are a descendant of Aboriginals?
No, that's correct. Yeah, my great-grandmother's taken away by what's known as Aboriginal Protection Agency at the age of 8. She was found in horse shackles at the age of 14 and sold to a drover and died at 15, giving birth to my grandmother.
Wow, well, that's quite a story. Man. So did you learn the things that you teach and work with people as a young boy?
I was born with a lot of knowledge, because a lot of the knowledge is actually with your spirit.
Yes.
And it comes through time.
Mm-hmm.
And as a four-year-old, I was fully remember and I was aware of the past. As a teenager, I was doing mind magic. And no one ever taught me. I just knew I could do it. But I want to know, what am I doing? How am I doing it? So I spent 50 years researching what was in the blood of our culture, but understanding what our culture didn't understand, the fact that in our modern day, it's actually a science. So thus, you've got the Dreamtime Healing is our cultural way of understanding and thinking, which is 60,000 years of knowledge. Holographic kinetics is the science behind that, because man is actually a hologram of time. And when you access the fractals of the hologram, you can access the past in the present, change it, and create a new future. And if you look at science today, science says, if you want to know the future, go back and look at the past, because everything is cycles of time.
Well, can we conjecture, Steve, that there is no future or past? It's all happening now, correct?
Well, I don't know about that, because tomorrow morning when you get up is the future.
Well, but it's only a future. Hold on a second. It's only a future if we create it in our minds, Steve. Tomorrow morning is still going to be now.
Well, that's your reality. You know, the way I look at it is your last step is your past. The one you're in right now is your present. And the next step you take will be the future. If you did not have three dimensions of time, you'd be frozen in time and you'd be going nowhere.
Not sure about that, but interesting concept. So you say that you have to believe, you're saying you have to believe in time to have a body?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Oh, okay. So
I said, as science states, if you want to know the future, you go back and look at the past, because everything is cycles of time. So everything man has ever created and every problem man ever has come from somewhere in the past, whether it be in this life, whether it be past life, whether it be epigenetics. Mm-hmm. And you have to find the cause, the effect of where that came from, to unfold time on that and change the future from tomorrow onwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that. So so do you think that in general, what do you think is going on in the dream world of our listeners around the world, whether or not they remember them? What is your interpretation of what's going on?
Most people are programmed. They don't even know they're programmed. Just as like you've got a forward, you've got a backwards. You have a left, you have a right. You have a high, you have a low. You have a night time, you have a daytime. The universe has created an equal opposite to all things. As we have a visible world, we have an invisible world. So what takes place is that the external to the internal, the day you're born, every cell in you has a holographic memory of all your ancestors through time. And the day you're born, you're getting programmed external to internal. And everything you take in is locked into your cells. But the internal to the external is your spirit. It comes in a moment of conception. It is a spark of life. The moment it's locked in, it gives you life. It gives the tree life. It gives the plants life. It gives the animals life. It is the spirit. Everything external to internal that's locked in becomes part of the soul. They're equal opposites.
So what's your interpretation of the difference between spirit and soul?
As I said, the external to the internal are all the programmings that are locked into your soul. Once you capture that energy and locks in, it becomes a thought to a thought form to a life form, and it's going to reproduce itself for its own survival, and you become the host.
Oh, so just kind of, if we're in the ego consciousness, we're just kind of running on autopilot.
There's four parts. The ego, ego is the biggest problem people have, because the ego is about you taking over and thinking you know it all. And when people think they know it all, well, of course, they don't. But a lot of time they allow the programming to run them. So the programs of soul, which are the programs seeking survival, because they've been created, they're seeking survival. Then you've got life forms in other dimensions that are trying to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the spirit that says, hey, I can't make changes without you telling me. Tell me what you want and I'll change this reality for you.
Yeah, very well. So your experience is, Steve, that divine spirit, if we call it that, our spirit, been called many things over eons. Do you think it requires souls like us to work through us?
The soul is a physical vehicle. Look, in the early days when I was doing my magic, I was to send people back into the past parallel of the future. In other words, last lifetime you had a different parents, you had a different body, you had a different soul. The soul is the experience. To understand that, it's a bit like a police car chasing the criminal and the video is recording all the scene. That's the soul. But who's driving the vehicle? The policeman. With the anxiety, the stresses, he's the spirit. And that's the same with our body. The drive of our body is really the spirit, but the soul takes on all the programs, and the programs are running the bean, and most people are stuck in dimensions of time without even knowing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think, sure, if we believe that a year from now is really a year from now, then we're stuck in it.
Well, I'm not talking about the year from now. I'm talking about the year from last. I'm talking about the past. People come through time with trauma of past lives, and they set them up usually within the first 7 years. Then there's issues that people take that they set up in the past. In other words, if you're violent in the past to somebody, then you're going to come back to experience that violence in the first 3 years.
Right.
Then you've got the first 14 years, and that usually is a program of the soul. Then anything after that are cycles of similarity.
Oh, so you're saying through the Aboriginal teachings and cultures that you've seen, that a lot of kind of reworking of a past life got to come in the first few years? Does come in the first few years?
Any trauma online will come in the first 7 years. There's actually a mathematical formula we've discovered for how this universe works. So in the first 3.5 years, I can pretty well guarantee you set it up. In the next 7 years, it'll be death trauma online, and then the 14 years are the soul and its programs. And then everything, once it's locked in, it sets up the cycles of similarity through time.
What do you mean, the cycles of similarity through time? Walk us through that.
Okay, let's just say you capture anger. Mm-hmm. Well, first off is, what are you capturing? The little nucleus of you is capturing electrons from the sun, being the father, the mother's the earth, Gaia. She gives birth. But the electrons from the sun are captured around this little nucleus. The nucleus now becomes programmed, locks into your cells. It transmutes from the invisible to the visible world, and once it locks into your cell, it becomes a life form. The life form becomes a thought form. The universe comes in and says, hang on, you can't destroy this, it's a life form. It has a right to survive. So you are the host, you created it. So what's going to happen? It's going to repeat throughout your life, over and over, so it gets fed. It's growing, it's becoming intelligent. As it grows, because you're feeding it, it gets more intelligent, it eventually can set up compulsive disorder, bipolar, schizophrenic, because it evolves to the next level and becomes an internal entity that can take over. And the simple little part of that is the fact that people have sugar entities, people have the coffee entities. You're not controlling it, it's controlling you a lot of the time. Well, these other life forms are in there also controlling you, but you allow the soul to allow those programs to run without being aware. When you access the spirit to the cause effect of where these come from back in time, it could be this lifetime, it could be during the mother's womb, it could be a past lifetime. Your spirit will take you there. And when you relive it, you're reliving that trauma back in time. We enfold time and space and put you outside time. Instantly, time loops itself and from today on changes the future.
Oh, so it's the idea that when we kind of uncover an engram that's kind of locked in there somewhere, and we kind of relive it, go through it, that's how it's released.
When you see, one of the universal laws is equal force against equal force creates null and void. When you hit something with its equal force, by that acknowledgement, that alone can cancel it.
Do you think it's possible for folks can let go of some engrams or some things that are locked in there from past lives or this life, without doing different modalities or body work, all different kinds of things, without knowing what they are? Or do you think it's a learning process that we need to know what they are so we can let it go and say, oh, I did that? Or how does it work in your opinion?
Look, the moment you acknowledge something for what it is, just that acknowledgement hits it with an equal force and cancels it, changes the seven, cancels out of the system. But we have things that come through time. And to understand the spirit a little more, you know, look, I've worked with heart surgeons. I take out hearts. And when they take out a heart and put another heart in, the person's actually dead. And what they do, they've got to massage the heart, kick the heart, give it a boost, and kick it off. So I've got a couple of examples here. You know, I've got somebody who's just had a heart transplant. I say, do you know who owns the heart? No. Okay, on the table. I call through the spirit owns the heart.
Now, you're going to have to talk a little bit slower. Your accent's pretty thick, so we want to be able to understand. Okay, okay, yeah. Just take it.
I call through the woman who owns the heart.
Yeah.
56-year-old woman, mm-hmm. bought a brand new BMW and had head-on collision, and the BMW was killed. Huh. We go back, we look at that, we change it. When we finish with the guy, he says, oh, my God. I said, what? He says, I just went out and bought a brand new BMW. I've nearly had 3 head-on collisions, so I bought that BMW. You know, what we're finding is that when they take a heart out and put another heart in, that spirit is still connected to the other heart, and you're going to change your personality.
Really? Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but maybe that's what you believe,
check,
huh?
Check people that have heart transplants. Mm-hmm. Check the relationships.
Yeah, I guess you would, though. I don't know about the soul, Steve, but you certainly would bring in a whole lot of, if you're right, and we're right about this whole organs or just all the different holograms of everything in the past lives, right, of this person, I guess you'd bring in a lot of all kinds of information and tendencies.
I wasn't talking about the organs. I was only talking about the heart. Because the spark of life at the moment of conception is where the spirit enters the heart and gives you life. When the spirit departs, then you're dead. When the spirit departs a tree, it is dead. It is the life form. It is the essence of all living thing is the spirit.
Right.
And everything is alive.
Right. Yeah. If you'd like to be on the show with Steve Richards, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's an email, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Give our listeners some tips that they can begin to start taking advantage of this life that we call dreams when their body is sleeping.
Well, look, dreams are a totally different thing. Just because I call it the dream time, that's about Aboriginal culture. And to understand the dream time is we would sit around the campfire and mm-hmm. we'd be in a dream state. So white society, professors came, they called it the dream time because they couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And what it was, they'd be sitting around and they'd be in communication with the spirit of the trees, the plants, the animals.
Mm.
And through that, they'd put out to the animal, maybe kangaroo, to donate the vehicle. And the next day, there's your kangaroo, there's your lunch. The soul is in fight or flight, but the spirit donates the vehicle, so it moves to a higher octave.
Okay, well, we got to slow down a second. You're going too fast for us, okay? So we can't,
okay.
We can't get it because you've got a great, beautiful accent, but it's got to slow down. So we're at the campfire, and we're doing the kangaroo. So walk us through what you're saying slowly.
Okay. You'd sit around the campfire,
yeah.
And their spirit would connect to the spirit of the animal. And on the level of spirit, they would ask the spirit to donate itself. And the kangaroo would donate the vehicle, and next day there is your lunch.
Oh.
Now, the soul is in fight or flight, but because the kangaroo donates itself, it moves to a higher level. In other words, it can now come back as something else.
Yes.
It can keep moving up the scale. Now, if you kill that animal without permission, then that spirit of the animal has a right to continue living in your body. Now, you get people out there barking like a dog and clucking like a chicken called Tourette's. We take out animal spirits, there's no more barking like a dog or clucking like a chicken. And that goes for war situations. I worked on soldiers from Somalia, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, from Vietnam. And 40 years after the Vietnam War, I have soldiers on my table, and I have spirits of Viet Cong talking Vietnamese out of the body. We unfold time that's based on trauma that took place back in Vietnam. We change that dimension of time, put them outside time. We then release that spirit, and instantly, no more mental trauma.
You know, that idea about the animals, that's really a beautiful thing. So I get we've often been taught or shown that the Indians would kill the deer and then they would do this whole little ceremony. But you're saying the Aboriginals actually would work with the animal that they're interested in eating beforehand, and would they get the permission then of the soul of the kangaroo and then they would be prepared to leave and go somewhere else? Is that what
we're the oldest culture in the world. 60,000 years and more, it's been proved our culture was alive.
60,000, wow.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And how'd they do it? They lived for 60,000 years by acknowledging the spirit of all living things. Before they built a canoe, they would ask the spirit of the tree if they could cut it down.
Hmm.
If the tree said no, they'd go to another tree. And finally a tree would say, yes, I don't mind evolving. So they cut down that tree. They make a kangaroo. The canoe out of that particular tree.
Huh.
They acknowledge every living thing back in the past as the spirit of all living things, and they communicated to it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until white men came in and they took away the children. It's what's known as the stolen generation. And where father would pass that knowledge to his son, and to his son, and to his son, and sometimes the grandfather would incarnate as the grandson.
Sure.
And the knowledge will go through lifetimes.
Wow.
Most of that's been lost today.
Are there still a large amount of Aboriginals who live this life, this spiritual life, and then connected as they are with everything? So quite a
some
few,
do, some. But today most communities, most Aboriginals have been taken off the land and put into communities.
Oh.
And because they're not living the way they used to with spirit, you know, we have prisons here that are just full of 100% Aboriginal youth.
Oh, my God.
We have at least 87% Aboriginal people in the prison system.
What do they put them in prison for?
Because when you take away something from a person,
yeah,
and you try to bring them into another life that's not their life, and they're stuck between two worlds,
yes,
and then the knowledge of the old way's been lost, and then you give them, by setting up canteens, you give them alcohol, what do you expect?
Yeah. Similar to what's going on with the American Indian here, Steve?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Wow. So it's really a big deal in Australia? I mean, a big issue?
Yeah, definitely. And not only is it a big issue, but what they did was they took away the children, then they put them in these convents. They built the living daylights out of them. Look, I'm dealing with 80-year-old women that are reverting back to 8 years old and reliving the trauma of being whipped constantly for speaking native language. Now, why do old people revert back in time? Because this is a universal law. People revert back in time before they die. The universe is saying, deal with your stuff now so you don't have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do it, then you're going to bring it back in the future cycles of time.
Right. Might as well get it done, right?
That's it. And if you look at our mental health system today, Aboriginal culture is totally trained by Western way of thinking. And yet, you know, we have communities out there saying, we don't want you in here.
Hmm.
We want a cultural way. But there's nowhere to train the cultural way. And what happens, our whole system, based on a Western system, is a failure.
Yeah.
And they've proved it. They've proved by the suicides going. We're liaising in one community now. 13 suicides from 5 years old upwards in the last 6 months.
My goodness. And you've worked with a lot of the suicides, haven't you? I saw that on your website.
We have.
Yeah.
Let's
do a little break here. Let me do a little break, and then we're going to talk to you more about how you work with different clients with the fascinating work. Steve Richards, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. His website is Holographic Kinetics, KINETICS.com, HolographicKinetics.com. He's in Brisbane, which is about midnight, a little bit after midnight. OneRadioNetwork.com. Here you go. This is fun, and I'm having a good time with mine. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this and some of the how it's helped me with some spiritual insights as well, because, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Molecular hydrogen, proven in peer-reviewed studies, lots of them, to be one of the best antioxidants and energy bunnies for our cells. And on a recent show, Dr. Mark Serkis, author of over 30 books, talks about it.
Just by being alive and eating, we have inflammation, and they have that inside the cells. Well, the hydrogen gas cools the fires that when we oxidize oxygen and food is a byproduct, and these free radicals, and some of them are good, but some of them just hurt inside the cell. And the hydrogen stimulates the process and then cools it at the end of the process. So it's kind of a perfect medical substance.
Interesting. Well, now you can safely and easily get hydrogen gas, breathe it, bubble hydrogen in your water, drink it by getting an AquaCure machine that George Wiseman has worked on for a lot of years. I have one, and man, it works great. It's really fun. I'll be telling you more about it. Use promo code ONERADIO if you'd like to get one. Promo code ONERADIO. Check out the possibility of using PayPal credit with no interest if you're a PayPal person. The most amazing warranty I've ever seen. Lifetime warranty on the machine. 1 year, money back, no questions asked. If you don't like it, up to a year. Use promo code ONERADIO, 10% discount. In the store, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously, we were talking about one of the Living Streams products. Wayne Blakely, why do you often recommend the multi-blend for someone if they're just going to get one of your products to start? Why is that so important?
That is our number one product to help people with SIBO, that helps the overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria in the small intestinal tract, and of course it helps the liver. It helps when you get your liver flushed out, cleaned, and your pathogenic bacteria lowered, especially the pathogens in your digestive tract, because the digestive tract is a war going on all the time between probiotics and pathogenic bacteria.
So it takes care of the pathogenic bacteria just by being in there with them?
By overwhelming them, huh?
We're talking about the multi-blend, and you can find it in our store, Living Streams Multi-Blend, on OneRadioNetwork.com in our store. There are, I guess, 12, 14 or so different products that Wayne has created. His family is now running the operation now that Wayne has left us. And they were involved from a long, long time. So everything is cool. Everything's working well. And they have all the sources, and they ought to do it in the formulas. And so we miss Wayne, but his work and his products go on. Our store, we have about 14 of them in there. And you can find things like the Perfect Molecule, which is the C60 product. Shibide, which is the CBD oil, CBD of the cannabis plant, so it's good for sleep. Flora PM is a great one that ladies have used it with success when they're going through menopause and such, and relieving a lot of things. He kind of discovered that by accident over the years with a lady just ordering a bunch of it. How come you keep ordering it? He said, well, it really helps me. I was getting hot flashes and that, and he didn't realize it. The thing of it is, when you get some good probiotics, as you know, in the body and all these immune system, that's where it all is, some pretty fun things can happen, and you just never know. We just get a bunch of them and mix them up, and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm not very scientific about it. Some people like to be, but you can take more than after a while you can build up and keep getting more and more, and just good things are going to continue to happen because the microbiome is just happy down there. If you'd like to get more information from somebody that's worked with Wayne forever, her name is Marilyn. Her number is 360-912-2981. 360-912-2981. And she can answer more of your questions, and I can also answer some questions too. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Living Streams, these products work like probiotics are supposed to work, and they really do work.
Know the source. One Radio Network.
We're talking with Steve Richards. Steve is founder of Dreamtime Healing using holographic kinetic aboriginal descendant. And pretty really great fun stuff. I appreciate you staying up so late. So Steve, can you give us an idea, maybe a little complicated, but if you can, talk slowly now. So it's some people are having a hard time understanding you. I'm getting emails through the internet and Skype and everything. So talk slowly, please. And give us an idea how you would work with somebody using this this spiritual knowledge. Somebody, for example, who was thinking about killing themselves.
Well, every cause, every action has a cause. Every effect has an action. Mm-hmm. What we'd be doing, we'd ask the client when they come, what are the issues you want to look at? Because this has to be, first off, the agreement between themselves and their spirit. They've come here for a reason. Mm. What's the reason? And if people got suicidal thoughts, and if people have a pattern in their life, they'll tell us. And we get a list of what it is, four or five issues. Mm. And then we'll access their spirit. And their spirit will tell us how, where, when, and why. It'll tell us what dimension it's linked to, what the emotion that dimension is, what age it was set up. Sometimes it could have been set up during conception, in 9-month period, because a lot of the children are actually a hologram of the mother, and they take on the hologram of the mother. It may have been an incident where we will hold on the table, we'll be holding two points at the back of the neck, and they'll actually heat up. And that's an indication I need to go back in time. So we'll then send them through the wormhole of time back into the past. And instantly, they're back there reliving what's happened in the past. Then we loop time on the dimension, put them outside time.
So when you say you do this and you do that, how how is it that you learned how to work with the soul on the table to take them back? I mean, that's some really pretty deep work you're doing there. Very amazing.
The way I teach my students is I teach them how to access the spirit through a physical communication. Mm-hmm. If I go into a community, I'll give you an example. We had a young girl in Canberra, and she came up to me on drugs. Can you help me? Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, look at my eyes. I went straight through one of the eyes. I looked straight in the eye, and I actually accessed her spirit. And I hit her on the shoulder. I said, spirit, send her the cause effect of why she is the way she is. Next minute, she's curled up on the ground in a fetal position. I said, little spirit, how old are you? I'm 2 months inside my mummy's tummy. Oh. Thank you, little spirit. And what's taking place? Daddy punched mummy in the tummy. Daddy punched mummy in the tummy. And how to make you feel, little spirit? They don't want me. So all her life, she's not been wanted. That's why she's turned to the drugs.
Oh,
we loop time and dimension. We blow the dimension, clear the dimension. And then we do what I call a drug rundown, and we blow all the drugs out of the system.
You blow them out on the physiological level.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And
I understand universal laws.
Right, because you're working top-down?
I teach my students. I said we've trained 1,300 students in 42 countries around the world.
So you're training students how to do this work with people around the world?
That's correct.
Huh. Interesting. Can folks find, we have listeners around the world, can they find practitioners of this work? How do they do that? Is there...
If they contact me, go to the website, contact us, then we send them on to the closest qualified practitioner in that area.
I see.
And I say qualified because there are levels of it. I teach mostly the basics. But as students come back, because you can only take so much, you can only learn so much over a 7-day period.
Sure, sure.
And takes 7 days. Next time they come back, they pick up so much more. Next time they come back, they pick up so much more. And as they do, we start fine-tuning them, and we take them to another level, then to another level. And, you know, we have students that have been with us for over 10 years and more. We've been doing this for 20-odd years teaching, but 50 years of research, and we're still learning. We're still learning new areas we've never gone to.
Oh, we see.
And we have some of our students at present that are working with people in wheelchairs that have never been out of a wheelchair.
Mm.
And they get memory back into the muscles. And they now end up at the gym and they do workouts at the gym.
Whoa.
They're getting out of the wheelchair.
What do you mean memory stay back in their muscles? What do you mean?
Well, when a person has a stroke, what takes place? Memory between that muscle and the brain, it's a short circuit. It's not there anymore.
Right.
But what happens is the muscle still has memory in it. And the spirit can access the muscle in the memory. So we get those muscles working again with memory by accessing them. It's the same as, look, we've worked with people that have had burns in burn units, and we've got them like within a few hours of the burns, and we've actually done certain things with the body, and I'm talking about the person is in the hospital, we surrogate them into somebody else on the table. We work on them, and within the end of the month, where they originally had 80% burns of the body, they didn't need a skin graft. In 2 months, they've been released. There's areas we're getting to no one's ever getting to because we understand one important thing. And I'm going to ask you this question. Can you hand me a thought?
I'm sorry?
Can you hand me a thought?
Can I hand you a thought?
Yes.
Can I hand it to you in physical reality?
That's right, you can't.
No, you can't.
Because it's invisible.
Right.
You can only look at what's been created by our thoughts in the visible. Because everything comes from the invisible.
Yes.
It all comes as a thought or as an emotion that's trapped into your cells. So when you access that invisible thought or emotion, that can now change the visible. Our system today is looking at the visible and trying to change the visible without looking at the invisible.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Wagging the dog, the tail and all that. Yeah, the opposite.
That's correct.
The opposite way around, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to look at man as a multidimensional being in a multidimensional world.
Mm-hmm.
We have invisible bodies in us, and those invisible bodies first get the energy of imbalance in them. Then it flows through to end product, which is a physical reality.
So do you think that every thought either builds or pollutes the body?
Every thought you ever had is captured. The funny thing about humans is they let go of all the good thoughts, and they only hang on to the bad thoughts.
Hmm.
And those bad thoughts will now, because you're hanging on to them, they'll reproduce themselves in what we call the cycles of similarity. So lifetime after lifetime, they can go, or they come into this lifetime, year after year after year, and they keep growing through time and becoming more powerful and taking over. They're alive.
Because most folks, you know, I think for lifetimes, all of us have not wanted the bad, the negative thoughts, and tried to keep them away. And as you said, that just makes them stronger, makes them come back more.
And that's the funny thing about humans.
Yeah.
We let go of those good things. We very rarely do people hang on to the really good emotions and the good positive things in life, but they hang on to all the negative things.
Why is
and
that?
And the negative things well, that keep reproducing that? Themselves.
What is that? Is it just many lives, you think, Steve, of just programming and just a habit? Just so easy to hang on to the bad stuff?
I believe it's virtually man himself has been programmed from the beginning, from thousands of years. The soul is programmed by the external. Like, look, little baby. When a little baby's born, it actually has a holographic memory of all the ancestors through time.
Everyone?
Now, we can access those ancestors.
Everyone.
You know, science call it epigenetics. But when the universe was there, when they pat them on the back and say, wonderful, wonderful, new experiment, we've just found epigenetics. Well, my comment was, well, how do you access it? They can't. Well, we can. I can bring the great-great-great-grandmother through and have her talking out of the body on the table.
Mm-hmm. That's what she was doing,
because
is working with
you
that
are a hologram,
right?
Of time.
Yeah. A hologram of time.
Man is a hologram of time. And we're just actually in the fractals of the hologram that have the stored memory in it.
Say that again? I didn't catch that.
We just access the fractals of the hologram that have the stored memory in it. And when we change that fractal of the stored memory, it then passes through the rest of the body, tells these other fractals to change the hologram, and the hologram changes. And you get changes. I just say to my clients, take it easy for 48 hours. Because the next 48 hours, your body's making changes, mm-hmm. which are physical changes, mm-hmm. and it takes place.
So there's a time lag between the spiritual changes we make and how it shows up in the physical.
You have millions and millions of cells. And it's like defragging your computer. How long does it take to defrag your computer?
Yeah. I don't know, an hour or so, a couple hours.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the humans, you know, I say take it easy for 48 hours.
Oh, I see.
And so it makes changes to all the fractals.
So yes, they make a change to all the fractals, yeah.
That's correct.
What's your experience with how you connect with spirit?
Look, your spirit is there to drive the vehicle. Because I've been doing this for 50 years, I can walk up to someone and I'll show that young girl, and I can just lock straight onto it and talk straight to it, because I know what I'm doing. But I teach the students how to access it through kinetics, which is a movement of energy, and how to access it. And once I understand that down the track, as students come back and they evolve, then I'll take them to another level. And then we do what's known as the Nungari healing. Now, the Nungari are the clever men and the healers of Aboriginal communities. And what they actually do is they slide into internal hyperspace. Their spirit and the spirit of the client on the table are now communicating on another level. They're mm-hmm. filling the body and they're adjusting the invisible body, which then flows through and adjusts the physical body.
So this is what you've described is really how herbs work, right?
Everything in nature is the same. You mm-hmm. just have to understand it.
So everything is a soul, living entity.
Everything is, there is an invisible internal force behind all things.
Mm-hmm.
The plants, the trees, the rocks, the cockroach. Mm-hmm. Look, when the spirit departs, they're dead. But that spirit gives it the life. Now, when the grass itself gets cut, the soul of the grass grows more grass.
Mm-hmm.
The tree grows more leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The physical body is accessing cells all the time and growing, but that's the soul which flows onto the physical, which has the memories in the cells. The spirit's the inner, the invisible body that gives life to the visible body.
Yes. Very cool. Carol writes, and she said, I've studied this and I've seen where heart transplants is a true phenomenon frequently heard with some patients. I knew one person that got unusual food cravings that turned out to be the same food that the original heart owner craved. So yeah, she's going along with you where you take on some stuff from the person who had the heart.
It's all those memories are stored in that spirit. Sure. When they put another spirit, it's still running the same memories. You know, we had a case in America there where a guy, he got a heart, and I got to meet the family. So he met the family. He went out and fell in love with the guy's wife, whose heart he had. 13 years later, he went out in the garage, he put a shotgun to his head, and he blew his brains out.
Man.
Just like her husband did with the same heart 13 years earlier.
No.
The same program was still running, hadn't been cleared.
Wow.
And you can go back to, look, I've worked with heart transplant doctors, heart surgeons, and we've had some good conversations about some of the issues because I understand what's going on and I can access it. I can bring the person who's owned the heart through and have them talking out of that body on the table.
So when you say you can access it, you must do that from a movement of who you are as soul. You access it as soul.
I access it through kinetic means.
What does that mean?
I'm actually talking to the spirit, and the spirit is going to be talking to me through the body.
You're talking to the spirit through the body.
And it's talking through the body physically.
Ah.
And I was anybody in the room sitting there listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking the spirit questions and it's answering me. We work on animals around the world and we surrogate animals in and we have animals talking out of a physical body on the table.
Yes.
Now people say, how can you do that? Well, just say you're a mini miner and your mate is a semi-trailer. And the semi-trailer is designed to pull a 40-ton load. So let's get a set of lights and let's drag. The little mini, it takes off. The semi's pulling his 40-ton load. Get the next set of lights, let's swap drivers. Now, the guy in the mini's in the semi, pulling the 40-ton load. Now, your body's designed to talk to me in English. When I swap drivers and bring the spirit of a tree or an animal in, it can talk physically out of the body in English. It's that simple.
Yeah, I've experienced that with my dog talking to me in English in another reality, in English. Now, how did she learn English?
How did she learn English?
It's like she did one time, Richard, Steve, she said, my left teat is sore. Will you help me, please? That's exactly what she said, right, in the dream state. So I woke up, and then I looked at her, turned her over, and, of course, her left teat was all swollen up, and we actually put a picture on the website. So all animals can communicate with us through the language that we know, and trees as well?
Oh, that's correct. I mean, I've teach my students how to bring a tree and have a tree physically talking out of you. And tell you what, they are brilliant. They are brilliant. There's no secrets in nature anymore when you understand how to access this.
Let's take a couple of the emails here. Interesting. Good stuff.
Sure.
How did the Aboriginals talk to the kangaroos? How did they talk to those kangaroos?
Because what they do, they put out, they lived for 60,000 years without really communicating. Most of the communication was done through spirit. And therefore, their spirit would talk to the spirit of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of the animal acknowledged them in the spirit realm, in the other dimension. It's only when we start communicating the physical world of reality that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yes.
And a lot of that knowledge started to get lost when we started to communicate with words and talk. And today, man still, just like your dog in the dream, well, your spirit's talking to your spirit in a dream, and what happens is it can communicate to you.
Sure.
Everything in nature can communicate.
Yeah.
You know, we work on kids around the world, and we surrogate kids in from other countries to someone on the table. We work on them, send them back, and we get changes in the kids. We just did an experiment recently with Japan.
Yeah.
And we had them put a vial of water on the desk in Japan. We surrogate the spirit of the water in to one of our students. We spoke to the water. It said to us, there's a problem in the pipe, there's toxins in the pipe. And we spoke about a few questions, we asked it. We then gave it love and appreciate, sent it back. They sent us 52 photos. And you see before and after. You see, they've never seen tap water come out so crystal clear.
Really?
When we gave it love and appreciation. Not only did they give us the before and after photos, but in one of the photos, it showed you this crystalline structure with a hole in the middle with dirty muck in it. And the next picture it showed us was a pipe. It's not only talking to us, but it was showing us. So then we did a second experiment. And the second experiment, the water said, you need to take more photos of me and you need to look at me closer. So we've got a bottle on the desk in Japan. Remember, we're in Australia. We surrogate the water in, spoke to water, sent it back. Without us telling them, the water influenced them into taking 152 photos, which we have in three stages. And we're just still organising that now. Down the track, I said, what we'll do is we'll surrogate the water from Fukushima in, and I'll send it through to a vial of water on your desk. Do you understand? Everything is alive in nature. And when you start to communicate to and understand it, it will work with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So everything has a state of consciousness. It does, right? It just does.
Every living thing. Every living thing.
Have a state of consciousness. So when you think about that, that a rock is conscious, it's conscious at some level, right?
It is, but when the spirit departs the rock, it is dead. It's like crystals. Crystals can have the life form energy, that spirit in it.
Oh. So
but
why?
Then when you take the spirit from the area, that spirit can depart that particular crystal, and then you can have what's known as a dead crystal.
I see. So spirit would leave a rock or something because
you took it from its area. You know, we have people come to Australia and take parts of rocks from Ayers Rock. Do you know the post office at Ayers Rock every year gets hundreds and hundreds of rocks sent back to it?
Who does?
The post office in Ayers Rock in Alice Springs.
Yeah.
When people take samples of Ayers Rock back to their own country, that spirit doesn't want to leave. It creates havoc in their life. And we have people posting rocks from Ayers Rock back to Ayers Rock.
Wow.
Everything's alive. And she's the biggest rock of all. She's alive.
Whoa. I never thought of that idea that if the rock is not happy moving from away from its home, so spirit will just leave it and becomes like a dead rock, or it could also cause problems for the person because of
the spirit in that rock. It's like, look, I worked on Aboriginal men about 3 months ago, and it went back, the issue he had went back to 5-6 years old. And he's walking through the bush with his friends, and the other friends are Aboriginal men, and they say, no, don't go there, don't go there. Bad spirit. But he thought he knew better, so he's climbing over this tree. Anyway, what happened was that when we worked on him, the spirit of the tree was in him. And the spirit of the tree was so angry because the tree had come from Scotland and they planted it in Australia, which is a different climate, and the tree hated being there.
Wow. Here's a great question from Keith. I'm enjoying the show. I'm wondering what we can do for those of us who eat meat from the food store, how we can best utilize this food product without having it hurt us, the energy. So I hear what he's asking. When you're not killing it yourself and doing the whole thing like the Indian, can you have any advice for that, people that buy meat at the store?
You aren't the killer. You know, if you go back and you check the abattoirs, you'll find the guy with a ram set that puts a ram set in the animal, a lot of those guys end up in mental institutions. You know, I was in a hospital having an operation,
really?
And we had five men in the hospital having the same operation. And 2 o'clock in the morning, they come around, painkillers, pain, no. The guy next to me is screaming all night in pain, and I'm looking at him, and I'm actually seeing his features changing. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. So in the morning, I said, what do you do for a living? I'm a boner at the abattoirs. Okay, thank you. I knew I was in pain because I could see all the spirits in him that were changing his features.
Oh, so what's the word you're using? Abattoirs? In other words, so it's like the slaughterhouse, I guess, what we call the slaughterhouse.
That's correct. That's correct.
Wow, man.
That's correct.
So how about the folks buying meat at the food store? What can they do?
Well, they didn't kill the meat, did they?
No.
Now, the difference is, if the animal went through trauma,
like
you stop and have a look at the battery run chicken farms today and you look at some of the cattle, they're doing. If they go through trauma, that trauma can be in the meat.
Yes,
and you can take the trauma on through the meat.
Yeah. Yes, we certainly have thought about that for years, and I guess it's true. Must be true, right? It is true.
Yeah, it is.
It
definitely
is true. That's why it's good if you go to farmers markets and try to find some people that take good care of their moo cows and bus them and, you know, the whole thing. Wow.
And the other thing you've got to look at, too, is today, look, our meat has got so much toxins in it, it's not funny. And you'll take, have you ever stopped and had a look at go to a farm, and how do they deworm the cattle? They pour it over the back of the cattle, it absorbs in through the skin to kill the bugs and the worms. Well, when they're doing this to cattle, that's in the meat. You're eating this stuff in the meat. You're eating the toxins in the meat. People don't realize just how much toxins are in our meat and our food. And look at the sprays. The sprays out there. Do you know how polio existed originally?
How polio? Oh, you mean how polio come into being, or how?
Polio originally was discovered in the apple orchards when they found workers that were paralyzed. And they realized it was the sprays on the apples that were killing them. So they made it illegal to use the word polio. So they just changed it so you don't see polio anymore. But there's all these other labels there that are still doing it with sprays on the fruit and the vegetables.
Really?
Research it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have that's fascinating. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's where it originated from. They'd fight farmers paralyzed, the workers paralyzed in the apple orchards.
So I guess, though, on the meat thing, too, it would, I guess it would be good to at least be grateful, all right, for the meat and bless it like we bless our food and things. And that helps change it, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. Thank the spirit of the animal for donating its vehicle.
Sure.
And if you stop and look in nature, everything in nature donates the vehicle, you know. It's
right.
The blade of grass donates itself for the cattle to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The cattle donate themselves for the people to eat. The insects donate them for the birds. The birds donate themselves for something else. Everything in life is donating itself, the vehicle, for the reproduction of something else.
Yeah. How about us humans? What are we donating to?
When you die and you put in the ground, plenty of worms and grubs and bugs and other little creatures that start the cycle all over again.
Just do it all over again.
Yeah.
Do you remember a lot of your past lives, Steve?
Some of them. I remember who I was in my past, and I was an old Aboriginal clever man. I remember all the old ways. That's how this has come through with me.
Mm-hmm.
Today, most of that knowledge that we have has been lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wanted to understand how it works. So I spent 50 years of researching the science behind it.
Mm.
And that's why Dreamtime Healing is our cultural way. Holographic kinetics is man is a hologram of time, and the kinetics is a movement of energy. And it's how to access those dimensions, which is a science. It's based on mass and geometry. Aboriginal culture didn't understand that. They could just do it. But we today understand how to apply the mass and geometry to go further and to make it work. And it does.
Yeah. So do you think that we, when our body's sleeping and we're in the dream life, that we are learning and healing and working things out, even if we don't remember the experience?
It's only the physical body that's really resting.
Yes.
A lot of time the physical body's resting, the spirit's still doing its thing.
Right.
But also, we can move out of this dimension at night.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Which is
and
what
that covers the dream time at night with humans today covers so many areas.
Yeah.
Now you watch a TV show and you react to it. In the dream time, it comes through.
That's right.
Yeah. You could have episodes take place in the daytime, and they can be part of the dream time.
Yeah.
Then you could have just thought processes that come through that aren't even yours because you're picking up weight. I mean, today, have a look. We're picking up electromagnetic waves. We're picking up telephones. We're picking microwaves. So many wave formations in the atmosphere. Well, what are we picking up in those wave formations?
I know. The other day, I try to just stay as neutral as I can, you know, with all the work we do on the internet, Steve. And I just read this article. The headline was something like, Hillary Clinton may consider running in 2020, right? And so what I did was, to myself, I just, something snarky, you know, I kind of said, oh, please, you know, like that. That's all I did. Just that 4 seconds, 5 seconds, then I let it go. Didn't think about it again. Well, that night, you know, of course, who'd I show up and have a little chat with in my dream life is Hillary Clinton. So your point is well taken. I mean, we do have to work these little things out that I created, the old please, don't we?
Well, that's right. I mean, we react. The whole idea is if man can stay at point zero, what he doesn't realize is that man is constantly acting and reacting to programs. He doesn't even realize it.
Yes.
If he stays at point zero and realizes that everybody's playing games.
Yeah.
And instead of getting sucked into somebody else's game,
just
stay at point zero and observe the games without reacting to the games. And that puts you back in control of you.
Well said. Well said. That's the whole deal, isn't it? I mean, that's the mother load, isn't it?
An example of that, I found a funny example. And over here in Australia, you have your major service stations on the highway. And when you go into these major service stations, you go to pay, before you know it, there's this coffee queue. And you get in the coffee queue without even knowing it. And sometimes you say, woo, 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 hang on, stop. What am I in the coffee queue for? Well, I didn't come for a cup of coffee. I'll look down and say, okay, so you want your fare, you want your cup of coffee, do you? To the little entity that's in there wants the coffee anymore, so I'm not giving it to you, thank you. I go over to the other register and I'll pay for the fuel because I'm consciously aware that I was just influenced into going that aisle without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's how subtle it is.
Yeah. Boy, it's... So, a couple more emails. What about blood transfusions? Does the person blood you take still have some messages from the donor?
It could. And my thing is, if you have a blood transfusion, you tell your spirit, this is not my blood. Any program in this blood, I do not want it. Don't take it on. And blow the blood off your time track. And what will take place is when you tell your spirit what you want, it says, okay, and it won't take on that programming. In other words, your own blood will now override it.
You're right. Yeah, that makes sense. Here's an interesting question. Lily wants to know, she's in Kentucky, somewhere in Kentucky. I don't know. I can't pronounce the city. When does your guest feel that soul enters the body at birth? Or conception.
Okay. Now, let's get the words right. The soul and the spirit. The moment of conception, the spirit gives a spark of life and is linked to the heart. The soul are all the genetic memories and experiences in the cells. So, the day you're born, you are a hologram of your mother. Now, what takes place is, the day you're born, mother's programming you, your father's programming you, the teachers are programming you, the church is programming you, the school is programming you. Everything external to internal you take on gets locked into the cells and becomes part of the soul. Now, the spirit's in there, but the spirit says, I can only do what you tell me to do. I have no authority to make changes without authority. You have to tell me what you want me to do, and I'll make changes to your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? We let the soul and the programs run us. And throughout our life, we're taking on more programs and more programs, in our cells, and we're allowing our cells to be run by the soul. We don't listen to our spirit. Every now and then, it says, don't go there, don't go there. But we decide to go there.
Hmm.
And after that, we say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It says, I warned you, but you didn't listen to me.
You didn't listen.
Yep.
So what is
the soul is what we take on, and it's locked in the cells. And because a thought becomes a thought form, becomes a life form, it's just going to reproduce itself. But that life form, because of your actions and reactions, can evolve. And eventually can become an entity, and it takes over. Now we have compulsive disorder, bipolar, schizophrenic, a whole range of other labels you want to put on it. But it was a thought you created, that you fed, that's now taking over you.
So what kind of experience do you think you're going to have when you leave this body? Also known as dying, for you, Steve Richards.
When one dies, if you stop and look, when we go back through time with people, and I believe it's just like, look at the sign of the wave formation of the DNA. You've got two waves. I believe what you've got is, you die, you now live in another dimension, and when that time comes, you die and you're reborn again into this physical dimension. It's like there's two worlds, an invisible and a visible, invisible and a visible. So when we die, move into the visible realm, where we're living. Then when the time comes, we come back in the visible realm again. So going invisible to visible, etc.
So you think we just, for you, your belief is you just keep coming back here? You just keep coming back
here? Spirit never dies. Spirit never dies. It starts in the firmament and the gases and the liquids and the rocks and the plankton, the plant life, insect life, animal life, and the human life, and it will still evolve. It will just take on different forms and it evolves.
Right, but what about all the other physical realities it could go to?
Each lifetime, in the bigger cycle of time, every lifetime you come back, you take a different vehicle, you have a different soul to experience different dimensions.
You have a different soul?
Every time, if I put you under hypnosis, I send you back in time, which we've done, then I can go back in time. Say you only speak English, and I'll send you back in the past, and you live in Germany. You'll speak fluently to me in Germany. You tell me who you're married to, where you live, what you do for a living. because the vehicle you had was German in the past, you had a different soul, it was a German soul, thank you very much. This lifetime you have the vehicle you've got today, that means you have a different vehicle, therefore you have a different soul. Every time you take a different vehicle, and it's a bit like, if I went from, just say you went from Washington to New York, and your car broke down, your vehicle broke down, what do? You take another vehicle. The body's only a vehicle, that's all, for
right.
Journey.
Of course. Well, you're a fun guy to talk to. Thanks for staying up so late. Folks can go to your website, holographickinetics.com, and they can learn more about your work. They could probably become a student, right, if they want to?
They can. We've actually got two classes coming up, one in November in, well, we had November in Dallas, Texas, and the other one is going to be in December in Alabama.
Oh, Dallas, Texas. When in Dallas, November?
It's in November the 9th to the 15th in Dallas, and in Alabama, 14th to 20th of December.
And do you travel to teach these classes?
We've just come back from LA in Canada, and next few 5 months we're just focusing across Australia. I have a top student, one of my top teachers, and she'll be teaching in America. I'll be doing the theory over Skype the first day and about the fourth day on the interdimensional theory.
Excellent. Well, good fun. Thanks a lot. Great work. Let us know if we can help with anything, Stephen. We appreciate you staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning for us.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had a good time. Thank you very much. Fun stuff, huh? Steve Richards, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. He's on to a lot of good things there. I think so. So let's see. I'm going to do a commercial because we have to dial up Mr. Pete, which I didn't do before, which I'm going to do now. And that's okay. Just some technical stuff, but it's going to work. So you stay right there. Previously, we were talking with Dr. Rulin Shu, and I had a question about our Pearlseum. Pearlseum is not just calcium, right? It's calcium and minerals and proteins?
Yes. So the Pearlseum, the pearl, inside the pearl, there's, so of course, big part of it is calcium. But more importantly, this pearl contains all kinds of trace minerals, potassium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, and also all kind of trace minerals, proteins, amino acid, polysaccharides. So it is. It actually have a very balanced matrix of nutrients for the calcium metabolism. And in fact, they have research discovered that the pearl, the mechanism, you know, the DNA that in charge of making the pearl is very similar to the human DNA that in charge of calcium metabolism.
Yes, getting really good calcium in just the right spot, in the bones, that's where we need it, is a challenge, but this is a great product and it does that. And that's just one of the many benefits. Brush your teeth with it. It's the most amazing thing for teeth you've ever seen. They will look pearly white. Pearlseum. Click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.